Good evening, everyone. So we're back to the class on tefillah, on prayer. When we started this class, before Rosh Hashanah, we had three classes before all the Amtavim came, and Tuesday nights were not available. And we focused on the prayer of Olenu, because Olenu plays an important part in the tefillahs of the high holidays of the Yom and the Royim. Now that we're getting back into the regular schedule of things, I'd like to spend today on some discussion about tefillah, about prayer in general, and we'll start working through the Shemoneh Esrei. But today we're going to focus on some ideas about tefillah, about prayer, about davening in general. And actually, specifically, I want to focus on the idea of kavana. We talk about how when we daven, we're supposed to have kavana. Kavana we translate as concentration. We're supposed to concentrate on what we're doing. Now, there is another place that we find this word kavana, and that is there is a concept of mitzvah tzriches kavana. When you do a mitzvah, it needs kavana. It needs intent. It's actually an argument in the Gemara whether it needs intent or not. But kavana, when it comes to doing a mitzvah, the kavana is, am I intending to do a mitzvah? Or am I just intending to do an act, not intending it to be to fulfill a mitzvah, and perhaps I can still fulfill a mitzvah that way? If a person reads Shema in the morning, hasn't read Shema yet, and he reads Shema, but he had no intention to do so in fulfilling the mitzvah. So we have a machlokes, we have an argument in the Gemara, without intending to do a mitzvah, do you still fulfill the mitzvah? Now, when we talk about kavana by prayer, I'm intending to pray, you know. So what does that mean? Would you say Shemoneh Esrei without intending to daven? What is it? The word kavana, we call it concentration, focus. But, you know, the relationship with the word kavana in both places is the idea that intending to daven means you're concentrating on what you're doing, right? If you're davening and you're, you know, in some other planet while you're doing so, you're not really, one can argue that's not real intent to pray. It's that intent to daven if you're not thinking about it. If you're thinking about something else and you're just mouthing the words. So here too, the word kavana, intention, applies here also, but it implies in the sense of concentration and focusing on what you're doing. Now, to get more specific about what kavana means, I want to share with you a very interesting thought from Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, and how he answered up a contradiction in the words of the Rambam. This is a famous comment. This is a famous comment from Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, Rav Chaim Brisker. And the Rambam in Hilchos Tefillah, the Laws of Prayer, in Perek Dalet, the fourth chapter, when he talks about kavana, use the word kavana. He actually begins that in the beginning of the fourth chapter, Halacha Aleph, paragraph one, Halacha one. There are five things that hold back prayer. There are five things that you need to do in order for your prayer to be acceptable. One of them is kavanas halev, concentration, focus of the heart. Later on, Rambam writes like this, and this is where Rambam really kind of seems to spell out what kavana is. So in Halacha Tesvav, again, Perek Tal Halacha Tesvav, the Rambam writes, kavanas halev ketzad. When we say that concentration is one of the five things that are mandatory for praying. What does this mean? Kol tefila she'ena b'kavana eina tefila. Kol tefila, any prayer. Now the word tefila always means Shemoneh Esrei. Kol tefila, any Shemoneh Esrei. She'ena b'kavana, that is not with kavana, which is not with concentration, eina tefila. Doesn't count as a prayer, doesn't count as a Shemoneh Esrei. The misbalabalai kavana, if you daven without kavana, without intention, without concentration, chayz misbalabalai kavana. You got to daven over again. Now, in Halacha Tezayin, in paragraph 15, law 15, 16 rather, he says, ketzad hi kavana. What is kavana? What does it mean? What's this concentration you're telling me? What am I supposed to be concentrating on? The answer is, sheyafane es libay mikola machshavais. He has to clear his mind from all other thoughts, the yira atzmai ki'ilu hu oimed lefnei ha'shechina, and he has to see himself as if he is standing in front of the Shechina. Lefikach, therefore, tzarach leishev ma'at kaidem atfila de'elchav nasli by v'achakach yispal benachas v'sachanunim. Therefore, a person has to kind of sit a little bit, put himself together before he prays, so that he will be able to focus his mind and to daven slowly and in a form of supplication. And it shouldn't come like if the person is kind of not relaxed and he's not focused, then when he davens, it looks like he has this burden, just wants to get rid of and do and take care of and get off his back. So therefore, before a person davens, let's say he's meaning basically you're coming from a trip or you're walking into shul. You don't just run into shul and daven. You gotta kind of, you gotta calm down a little bit, put yourself together, and focus yourself that you should be able to daven properly. But the way the Rambam explains kavana, he says kavana means that your mind has nothing else on it, and you see yourself as if you're standing in front of the divine presence of Hashem. That's kavana. Kavana means that when I'm davening, I am aware that I am standing before Hashem and talking to Hashem. And there's no other thoughts going on in my mind. If I'm talking to you, or I'm talking to anybody, you don't talk to someone and think about something else. When you talk to someone, you're aware and focused on who you're talking to. So by tefillah, by Shemoneh Esrei especially, when you're speaking to Hashem, you have to kavana. Concentration means to be aware, to not have anything else on your mind, clear your mind of everything else other than the idea that I am standing before God and speaking to Him. That is how the Rambam explains kavana. Now, the question on the Rambam arises in the following way. Later on, in Perek Yud, chapter 10, again, the Rambam talks about kavana. And he writes, this is Perek Yud, Halacha Aleph, chapter 10, Halacha 1, Misha Yispalo, Lakibin Aslibai, one who prayed and did not concentrate, the Yachsav Yispalo Bekavana, he's got to daven over again and concentrate. The Imkibin Aslibai Bebracha Rishayna, and if he concentrated by the first blessing, Shuv Einay Tzarech, he does not need to do any more. The first bracha, the very first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, is Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Ka'ev Esen, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, etc., and ends Magen Avraham. The Rambam says, when you have kavana, you're supposed to have kavana whole davening. But the amount of kavana, the amount of concentration that's mandatory, or that's the minimum amount of kavana, that if you have this kavana, you don't have to have Shemoneh Esrei over again, is kavana by the first bracha. Kavana by the first bracha. Which would seem like we're saying that the kavana we spoke about before, which is to be aware that you're standing before Hashem and your mind is not on other things, all you need, what you should do that the whole davening. How, what, at what part of the, you should do that by the whole Shemoneh Esrei. By what part of Shemoneh Esrei do you have to do it? And if you did it, you've saved the rest of your Shemoneh Esrei, even if you go off to La La Land for the rest of Shemoneh Esrei. What's the minimum amount what's the minimum amount of Shemoneh Esrei that I have to have kavana on? The first bracha. Okay? That would sound, so that's halacha. The thing is that Rav Chaim Brisker points out that looking back in Perek Dalet that we mentioned before. So the wording of the Rambam was Kavana Salev Ketzad. What does it mean when we say you need to have Kavana? What does that mean? Kol Tfila She'ena Bekavana Ena Tfila. Kol Tfila She'ena Bekavana Ena Tfila. All prayer that's not with Kavana is not prayer. The Rambam says all prayer. What is all prayer mean? Sounds like the whole Shemoneh Esrei. So now we have a contradiction. If you understand kol tefila, all prayer, to mean the entire Shemoneh Esrei, so here the Rambam says that if I don't have concentration by the whole Shemoneh Esrei, I got to daven over. And we just had a halacha that we just read. Later on, the Rambam says, I only need kavana by the first bracha. I mean, you should do it the whole. But what's mandatory? What's going to make it? What's going to make or break whether I have to say Shemoneh Esrei over again? What's going to make or break if my Shemoneh Esrei was valid? The first bracha, kavana, concentration by the first bracha. So which one is it? The whole thing or only one bracha? That's Reb Chaim Brisker's question. So Reb Chaim says a famous answer, and his answer is like this: If you're familiar with the way that the Briskers, that the Soloveitchik family, the Briskers, how they approach many of the question, many of the ways that they answer a question is, they say that there's two dinim, there's two laws, or there's two different aspects of what we're talking about. When it comes to Kavana, says Reb Chaim, there are two aspects, two dinim, two laws of Kavana. The Rambam said one. The Rambam in Perek Dalet in chapter 4 said Kavana meant not that your mind is not on anything else other than the fact that you're standing before God.
Complete concentration.
Okay? The complete concentration, the concentration being, I stand before God. Actually, there's another concentration, which I am not aware that Rambam speaks it out explicitly, but I think by Shulchan Aruch it's spoken out, the commentaries speak it out, and that is, do I have to know what I'm talking about when I daven? Do I have to know, understand the words that I'm saying when I daven? Or can I just say the words? You know, Chazal made the words, right? They infused those words with lots of sanctity and holiness and power. And if I say those words, I'm good. Do I know what I'm talking about? I don't know what I'm talking about, but maybe it's still good. So the halacha is no. The halacha is like this. The halacha is that kavana also includes knowing what you're talking about. Kavana also means not just I am saying words before God. I know what I'm saying. And I'm focusing on what I'm saying. Not just that I'm saying words before God, but I'm focusing on the words. I know what they're saying and I focus on them. That's another form of kavana. And therefore, and if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, the halacha is that to understand what you're saying, how much of Shemayna Esrei do I have to understand for it to be valid? First bracha. The first bracha, you have to know what you're saying, which is a very important halacha, right? It means every person, if they should make sure that when they reach Shemayna Esrei, they know what those words mean, right? There could be other parts of davening, you know, I don't know what they mean. Right? There could be the rest of Shemayna Esrei. Theoretically, I can say words to the rest of Shemayna Esrei. I have no idea what it's saying. But if, as long as I know the meaning of the first bracha, I have fulfilled my obligation. So Reb Chaim says these are the two parts of the Rambam. When the Rambam says in Perek Yud that the first bracha it's enough to have kavana by the first bracha of the Shemayna Esrei, that's the kavana of knowing what you're saying. Understanding the words of what you're saying. You should understand the whole Shemayna Esrei. You should be focusing on the meaning of the whole Shemayna Esrei. What part of Shemayna Esrei is mandatory so that your Shemayna Esrei can be valid? What's the minimum amount of the Shemayna Esrei I have to understand for it to be valid? I don't have to understand the whole Shemayna Esrei. I have to at least understand the first bracha. If I understand the first bracha, from that obligation of kavana, that obligation of concentration, which means focusing and knowing the words, what they mean, the first bracha is mandatory. The rest of it is very important too. Mandatory, the first bracha. But when the Rambam, earlier in Perek Dalet, implied that any tefillah, any part of Shemayna Esrei without kavana isn't good, that, Reb Chaim says, is talking about the kavana of knowing that you're standing before God. Which means, according to the Rambam, according to Reb Chaim, presenting the Rambam, it comes out a very serious practical application. Because what Reb Chaim is saying in the Rambam is that when it comes to knowing that you're standing before God, that you need for the whole Shemayna Esrei. That means if at any part of the Shemayna Esrei you lose that awareness of being standing in front of God. Okay, you lose that awareness of standing in front of God. It could be by Tekah B'Shofar Gadol. It could be by Ritzei. It could be by Sim Shalom. It could be by Atachainain. If you lose focus at any point there, guess what? You missed out on that bracha. You can't skip a bracha in Shemayna Esrei. You know, you can't do that. Right? If you miss out on one bracha of the Shemayna Esrei, you don't have a Shemayna Esrei. So it's going to come out that if at any point of the Shemayna Esrei, I lose my focus and I lose my awareness that I'm standing before God, that part of the Shemayna Esrei is no good. I got to do that part over again. And if I go through the whole Shemayna Esrei and any part of it I miss and I finish, I'm going to have to do the whole thing over again. That's a very serious ramification. Now, the Chazon Ish wrote that he held that even when you space out, I have to look this up inside. I didn't see this 100%. I didn't focus on the Chazon Ish that well to fully comprehend what he's saying. But my understanding of what the Chazon Ish is saying is, he brings it down here in the Sefer Hegyonei Halacha, that the way the Chazon Ish said was like this: Hu Aimer Es Adam Mespalol She Efsher Sheyalem Imenu Lagamri Ma'avdei Shoymed Ba. No one completely forgets about the fact that they're standing in front, that they're davening. Vafilo Ein Liba Erekokach. Even if he's not so focused, Bechol Zay Seishu Yediyah Keya Bedavar Azeh. There's some kind of a, you know, it may be a weak realization, but everybody realizes, you know, that they're davening. You know, it's you may space out, right, in the middle of davening, but in the middle of davening, you're not going to start talking, right? You may be, who knows where. You know, there's a famous story about somebody came over to a Rebbe, and the Rebbe told him, Shalom Aleichem. And the person said, Shalom Aleichem, I was here the whole time. He goes, no, Shalom Aleichem, you know, you were like in some different country till now, now you just came back, so Shalom Aleichem. He recognized his davening, he was somewhere else, you know, some far off land. So he came back, so he gave him a Shalom Aleichem. Okay, but at the end of the day, even such a person, right, subconsciously, right, you know, I don't know what the word is subconsciously, but there's always some level of awareness that you're davening, right? Because even if you spaced out, you're not in the middle going to start talking to someone, you're not going to in the middle pick yourself up and move away. So the Chazon Ish says that there is always a maybe a very weak, but there is always some kind of realization of standing before Hashem. So therefore, you know, I don't know what he does with the Rambam, to explain the Rambam, but he seems to disagree because with Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, in the sense of Reb Chaim writing in the Rambam, if you lose your focus, you know, you're done. And the Chazon Ish says that nobody completely loses focus. And therefore, to say that there's such a thing as losing focus on the fact that you're davening, and therefore that messes up your Shemayna Esrei, and you have to say it over again, he disagreed with that. But what does come out here from the Rambam and from this whole idea, right, is that when we talk about kavana, when we talk about concentration by davening, we always think about, oh, kavana means that I'm really focusing and thinking about the words and I'm feeling it, right? It's not a very concise explanation. The concise explanation of kavana is that there's two types of kavana. There's two dinim, the two laws of kavana. There's two aspects of kavana. You know, whether you learn like the Chazon Ish, Rebbe Chaim, both aspects, no question, are supposed to be there, and they should be there in a strong form. And that is, there is an awareness while I'm davening that I'm standing before God. I am talking to Hashem, and therefore, if my mind is somewhere else, I'm not really there. And then there is kavada to focus on what you're saying. And focusing on what you're saying, you know, a lot of times people will daven and not say words, and they'll get very into it because I'm at least saying, you know, holy words, and I know I'm talking to Hashem. Okay, that's valid. But there's another aspect of kavana that says focusing on the words, not just focusing on words without knowing what you're saying. Focusing means knowing what you're saying. Pirush Hamilos, know to understand the words. That's another form of kavana. And that form of kavana, halachically, is mandatory for at least the first bracha l'shmeina esrei. If you don't do the first bracha l'shmeina esrei, you're running into problems. If you'd really be able to say that you didn't know the words whatsoever, you know, if you really didn't know the words, what they mean, you know, you'd have to say shmeina esrei over again.
Well, say it in the vernacular, then you'll understand.
Well, that's a whole different issue. But the point is, though, that when saying it in the language, in the Lashon Kodesh, the language of how Shemayin Esrei was made, which is the way you should be doing it, you've got to know at least what you're saying for the first bracha. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to fulfill the mitzvah. The question becomes, if let's say you said the first bracha of Shemayin Esrei and you were in La La Land, so you didn't even concentrate on what you said, right? There was something else going on. Now, if somebody asks you, what does it mean? You know what it means, but you weren't thinking a bit about it, okay? That we'll have to discuss. That maybe we'll discuss a different time. But the point that I want to focus on right now is the idea of that when we talk about kavana means concentration on davening means, number one, I am aware and strongly, and I should be strongly aware that I am standing before God. That's how I should see myself. I should see myself as I'm standing before the divine presence of Hashem. And also, Kavana means to focus on what I'm saying, to focus on the meaning of the words of what I'm saying.
If I was to pick one bracha, I'd say Shema Koleinu. It's the most important bracha.
No.
Koleinu means our voices.
Yeah.
We don't even have, if any layperson, they don't even really even have to understand. They know Koleinu is my voice. I'm crying out to Hashem. And plus Shema Koleinu is in the end of davening.
So. Shema Koleinu is definitely one of the more important brachas of the Shemoneh Esrei. But the first bracha, that's the, you know, we can explain its importance as the first. It's the, you know, it's the lead-in, right?
It's the Shield of Abraham, but I don't know what that means, really.
That means protection for the Jewish people. So the meaning is important, but it's also the lead-in to the whole experience of Shemayin Esrei. So if you start that one off right.
Right, then everything else.
Then everything will hopefully follow.
Isn't the act alone...
At some level, yes. But another level, the act needs kavanah, it needs concentration.
I mean, what is he doing? Why is he doing it?
That's true. That's why it should be. But at the end of the day, the question...
You don't understand the whole thing. But,
okay, at the end of the day, but that does happen very often in davening, right? There's lots of parts of davening that we don't necessarily know exactly what they mean. At the same time, you know, we're saying these very special holy words, and we're getting the mitzvah of saying it. But again, the way to really do the mitzvah is to be doing it with knowing what you're doing. But again, when it comes to kavana, kavana means that you are aware that you're standing before Hashem and speaking to Him, and that you're focusing on the meaning of the words. Now, somewhat related to this topic of kavana, in the sense that, you know, my experience of davening is one that I'm aware I'm standing before God, and I'm focusing on the words and their meanings, plays a very important role in understanding a famous question about davening. This question was asked by the Sefer HaIkrim. It's a famous question. And maybe it's a question we've thought about, not thought about, but this is the question. When we daven, very often we daven because we need something. We need something. We need a refuah, we need parnasa, we need things. Now, if let's say I don't have a job, so why don't I have a job?
You're a rabbi, that's what.
Right. I was waiting for something, yeah? Okay, why don't I have a job?
You're lazy.
Okay? Oh, you're lazy, right? Go get a job, right? How about all the people who try to get a job and they still don't have a job? At the end of the day, whether I have a job or not is because Hashem is going to decide whether I have a job or not, right? So if I don't have a job, then Hashem has decided that I shouldn't have a job. So who am I now to say to Rabbeinu Shalom, right? Could you change your mind, please? How does that work? How should we understand that? How should we understand that when Hashem made the decree, that now when I daven and I say, oh, please, give me a job, oh, poof, that's going to work. You know, how are you to understand that?
You get that free will. You can go out and get a job if you try.
Okay.
Somehow.
Okay, right. So it's up to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the Rabbeinu Shalom never decrees on a person. Let me finish. So Rabbeinu Shalom never decrees on a person, right, that you will not be able to find a job. No such thing. Excuse me. There is such a thing.
All right.
Okay. Now, how does it work? That's a question that's asked. So the Ikram, Sefer Ikram answers the following. Sefer Ikram answers. Is that actually the experience of davening is an experience that's supposed to change us. When you daven, and you daven right, you change. You become a different person. That experience of seeing yourself talking to God and talking to him about your needs and recognizing everything comes from Him, that is actually an experience that can change you, that can elevate you, that makes you a better person. So actually what you do when you daven is you change yourself. You elevate yourself. And therefore, says the Ikrim, when Hashem said, I don't have a job, that's when Hashem says, Reuven ben Yaakov doesn't have a job. But after davening, it's not the same Reuven ben Yaakov. It's a different Reuven ben Yaakov. It's a different Chaim Shapiro. You know, it's a different person. It's not the same person as before. You're a different person. You're changed. It's very similar to the concept of tshuva.
Well, I was going to ask you, is it tshuva that you're doing?
It's a certain type of tshuva, but it's a unique tshuva that comes with tefillah, that comes with davening. It doesn't necessarily, it's not the kind of tshuva that necessarily talks about, you know, I have, say, vidoy, and I say charata, and I this. It's a tshuva. Clearly, a person is supposed to, when they come out of davening, feel themselves elevated and be a better person. But it's a form of tshuva that it's a unique form that comes through a conversation with Hashem. And therefore, the reason why the tefillah is going to work to change the decree is not because you changed Hashem in some way, but rather you change yourself. And through tefillah, you can change yourself in a way that now says, okay, you know, before you didn't deserve the job. Before, for whatever reason, you didn't deserve you didn't deserve it. You know, for because of your actions, because of your sins, you deserved some hardship. But now, after you davened and you've elevated yourself through davening, you're now a different person. As a different person, you can be judged differently. So that's how the Sefer Ikrim explains the mechanics. The mechanics of davening is that when and you can understand that. You know, what kind of davening? The davening that you're floating out, your mind is somewhere else, isn't going to be the davening that's going to change or elevate you. The davening that's going to change you is a davening that, again, I am aware, strongly aware that I'm speaking to Hashem. I'm thinking about the words. So I'm connecting in a very strong, unique way with Hashem. That's going to be a form of davening that's going to elevate me, that's going to change me. Right? If you don't have a kavana, you're hard pressed to think that you're going to change too much from that kind of davening. So therefore, says the Ikrim, the way tefillah, the mechanics of tefillah, that tefillah can now, we can gain something that we're missing, is the fact that Hashem made a decree on us before, but now we've changed, we've become a better person. As a better person, now Hashem can change his decree, because the decree was on the old me, not on the new me. And that's the mechanics of tefillah. But there's an obvious question on this approach. That makes a lot of sense if you're davening for yourself. So if you're davening for yourself, the decree was on the old you, not on the new you. But we know there's a concept of davening for someone else. Right? Yeah. Now, when I daven, you don't become a better person. I become a better person, but you don't become a better person. So how does my davening help for somebody else? That's a question that's asked on the Sefer Ikrim.
So it's all
true, but again, if this is the mechanics though, right, how does it work, right? Is it my tefillah going to help you do tshuva? I mean, if I ask Hashivenu, but you know, if I'm saying Refaenu, you know, or any other time that I'm davening for somebody else, again, you can understand that my experience of tefillah is going to change me. How's it going to change you? Okay, if it inspires you to do tshuva, fine, but if it doesn't? So the answer that's given is the following. And that is another very important concept in general. And that is that we know clearly from the Torah, although there are times that we can't necessarily understand it, but from the Torah, from the prophets, you know, when we suffer, we have to see it as a result of our sins. Maybe the sins of previous generations too. Then you ask, what about children? They have those sins. Why should children suffer? Good question. It's a valid question. And it's a question that's dealt with. But our approach and our personal situation, when we face a personal situation and we face a challenging situation, a troubling situation, and it's supposed to wake us up to repent. Repent from what? What am I repenting from? The answer is that there is no such thing as a person suffering, again, on a general basis, as an adult at least. There's no such thing as a person suffering if they don't deserve it. No such thing. Any kind of suffering that a person experiences at any level only comes because Hashem decrees this is something that you deserve. Either as an atonement for your sins, as a wake-up call, maybe it's just a challenge, but it doesn't come for nothing. That's not only about your own suffering, it's about somebody else's suffering also. Because if somebody else suffers and it hurts me and it bothers me, then that means that maybe I'm not, for whatever reason, Hashem is not giving me the suffering that that person has. But if that person's suffering is causing me to suffer, it's causing me pain, then again, that can only be happening in the bigger picture. That can only be happening at all, even to the other person. If what happens to the other person affects me, it could only happen if I am also deserving of whatever level of suffering I have from it. If somehow or another, I am not deserving of the suffering that will be a result of someone else's suffering, then it can't happen. So if let's say, you know, you have a good friend, and the good friend, and Hashem knows this friend, he deserves a punishment. But it comes out through his punishment, you're going to suffer, and you don't deserve that suffering, which only Hashem knows how to measure that, then guess what? That person is not going to get the suffering. Because the justice of Hashem, the fact that Hashem is without any kind of, as we say, iniquity, there's no wrongdoing on Hashem's part, means that at any level, no one can ever suffer from anything, whether it happens indirectly or happens to somebody else, so it kind of indirectly affects him, unless everybody involved is deserving of it. So for instance, they say like this, you know, if a person appears before a judge and the person stole something and the judge throws him into jail, right? So they say, well, what do you mean? He's thrown into jail. What about his family? What's going to happen to his family if you throw him into jail? Well, sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes, sorry, right? He committed the crime. He has to be put into jail. And unfortunately, it's collateral damage, right? It happens. But you can't necessarily do anything about it. If the person has to be put into jail, even though his family is going to suffer from it may not have been their fault, when it comes to dealing, a judge here on a flesh and blood judge can't do anything about that. The Rabbanu Shalom can. By the Rabbanu Shalom, it's the pasuk goes, it's a pasuk in Hazino. Can't remember. But the words that ain avel, there's no wrongdoing in Hashem's part. Hashem's judgment is always just. We may not be able to understand it. But we have to believe it's just, and just means that no one is ever affected from anything that happens to anyone unless they deserve it. Therefore, it comes out now that when I daven for someone else, it can work now the same way it works for myself. Because if the experience of davening is an experience that elevates me, so I become the better person. So as the better person, I don't deserve to suffer from his suffering. And that could actually help that person. So the mechanic works. The mechanic says this is given by a sefer called Hamer Lo'ilam. The Hamer Lo'ilam explains to answer this question on the Ikrim that since no one can suffer any level of suffering without deserving it, including a suffering that comes by caused by someone else's suffering, if I'm not worthy, if not deserving of it, it's not going to happen at all. It's not going to happen. And therefore, my davening can help you, because my davening elevates me. I become a better person, become an elevated person. I'm not deserving of that suffering. And once I'm not deserving of that suffering, it helps the other guy too. So therefore, this is how some learn the mechanics of how davening works, whether for myself, whether for someone else. It's an experience that's supposed to elevate me. And that's what elevates me, makes me into a different type of person. As a different type of person, Hashem's decree previously won't apply to me. The same thing will apply if I'm davening for somebody else. I will not suffer if I'm not deserving of the suffering that comes from somebody else, through somebody else. And therefore, if when I daven, I elevate myself, I make myself a better person, and I'm not deserving of that suffering anymore, that will now remove the suffering from the other person. But again, in relation to what we started off with kavana, with the idea of kavana, of having concentration when we daven, again, the way that we explain concentration of standing before Hashem and focusing on the meaning of the words, when a person has kavana in his davening, that's the kind of kavana that changes him and elevates him. But the kind of, if you daven without kavana, then that you may have fulfilled the mitzvah of davening, but at the end of the day, the kind of change in elevation it's supposed to make isn't going to happen unless you have kavana. And the more kavana that you have, the better, the more elevation, and the more effect that it will have on you.